all welcome. I thought as the new members, we need to get the understanding of how to deal with legislation, how to scrutinize this. That's why we have called this workshop today, so that when we call the department before us, we are able to interact with them. And we have also invited the research unit to also assist us. So we won't waste any time. We will start. Other members will join us while we are on the way, because time is really limited. I'm going to introduce myself first, and everyone will introduce himself and herself so that we know who's here, so that I don't just point at fingers. If I forgot, then you'll remind me. I'm Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of Labour and Public Enterprises, and I represent Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces.
I'm Pumelele Loli Sibisi, the committee secretary of this committee.
Okay. I'm O'Neill De Beer, in the NCOP from the Western Cape.
Yeah, I'm Wesley Jacob from the Free State.
I'm Herman Kurnewald from the Northwest Province, sitting in Chelsea.
I'm Roland Lenzana from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you.
I'm Dirk Seligman from Gauteng.
I'm Zanele Mene. I'm working with committee section.
Eric Wodgati, representative for Public Enterprise Committee.
Cindy Fuentese, the researcher for the Portfolio Committee of Labour.
Bongseni Ngobo, the researcher for this select committee.
I'm Daily Service, Executive Secretary to Mrs. Timber.
Rasiridi Tau, member of the committee. Thank you very much.
The lady at the back, the smaller Yana member, is Nolu for my back. They have a project of school at Mid High School. She is shadowing me.
I must say, Rasmus, I'm from committee section.
I'm Nafawi Mzima, ANC researcher for Labour Board, Portfolio Committee and Select Committee.
I'm Kay Onsam, Parliamentary Manager in Group.
Good morning, everybody, honorable members as well as our guests. My name is Ted Sibandi from Mpumalanga Province.
Over to you, Mrs. Mene.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable chairperson. My presentation, I'll try and
do my presentation on legislative process. I've been asked by the chairperson to come here and explain the legislative process to the committee. And I want to thank the chairperson for the opportunity she gave committee section to do this presentation, as it will assist us in terms of working together with the committee. My presentation, without going to give a full background, because I believe there are other presentations after me, I will just go straight to the point. In terms of the legislative process that is in Parliament, all the bills that are introduced, I can say 90% of the bills in Parliament are introduced by the executive. And when these bills are introduced, they have to follow certain procedures in terms of our constitution. And those procedures are mentioned in Section 74, Section 75, Section 76, 77, and 78 of the constitution. I will start by saying we are not only depending on the executive to introduce bills to Parliament. Even a committee can introduce a bill in Parliament, and even an individual member, that is a member of Parliament, can introduce a bill. So this legislative process is going to cover all those aspects. In terms of Section 74 bills, these are the bills that are amending the Constitution, any provision of the Constitution. And when such a bill is referred to Parliament, it has to follow all the processes that are mentioned in Section 74 of our Constitution. In terms of Section 74, any bill that amends a constitution, it has to follow the Section 76 procedures. I will make an example. Not all of them. I want to be specific. There are bills that amend the constitution that do not come to the NCOP. But there are bills that amend the constitution. I'll make an example specifically. If it amends a border of a province, that bill has to follow the Section 76 procedures, and the affected province has to give a go-ahead on that amendment. And if that is not the case, that bill will lapse. So all Section 76 bills, those are the bills that amend the constitution. I will come to Section 75. A Section 75 bill is a bill that addresses or considers the issues of national interest. I know some people, they argue that all the bills, whether we like it or not, they do affect the provinces. But for the sake of our procedures and the constitution, there are issues that are scheduled as issues that affect only the national interest and the issues that affect the provincial interest as well. A Section 75 bill is classified as one of those bills that only affects the national interest. And what happens, this bill can only be introduced at the National Assembly. It means that the starting point of this bill should be the National Assembly, and the NCOP on that bill, it can only propose amendments. When I'm saying it can only propose amendments, in terms of our constitution, it doesn't have absolute power to amend the Section 75 bill. It means that when that bill is referred to NCOP, the NCOP can amend the bill, but it has to be referred back to the National Assembly for National Assembly to confirm those amendments that are made by the NCOP. National Assembly can accept some of them, and National Assembly may not accept them. The question that we usually ask ourselves when we deal with a Section 75 is that, can the NCOP hold public hearings on a Section 75? In terms of our constitution, there's nothing stopping NCOP to hold public hearings on Section 75. But it depends on the nature of the bill. That is the practice that is here now in Parliament. And it depends from one bill to another. On Section 75, this is a crucial piece of legislation for NCOP, because this is a bill that affects the interests of provinces. In terms of Schedule 4 of the Constitution, all the areas that are mentioned there, NCOP and National Assembly, they have concurrent powers even with the provinces. Now what happens here is that this is the bill that is sent to the provinces, for the provinces to give their negotiating mandates and to give their final mandates. It's a six-week cycle. I know there's an outcry from provinces saying that the 6 weeks is not enough because they have to conduct public hearings and do everything. That is going to be reviewed, because in technical committee they are trying to come up with to increase that time that is allocated to 6 weeks, to 8 weeks instead of 6 weeks, but they are still consulting, that's what they said. And I also raised the fact that they must consult politically with the NCOP members. But that is the crucial bit where we need the negotiating mandate and the final mandate from the provinces. In this particular bill, NCOP has power to amend that bill. Their amendments doesn't have to be confirmed by the NA. There is a process where if the NA doesn't agree with the amendments made by the NCOP, and that process will go to the mediation committee. I'm going to mention that at a later stage. And then I want to make a difference between a Section 76.1 and a Section 76.2. A Section 76.1, it's a bill that affects the provinces. Both of them, they affect the provinces, but the difference is that in which house is the bill introduced. A Section 76.1, it's a Section 76, the bill that affects the provinces, but it is introduced at the National Assembly. So National Assembly receives that bill as the first house to consider it. And a Section 76 is the same bill, but it is introduced at the NCOP as the first house to consider that particular bill. There is a reason to have Section 71 and Section 76.2. And that reason in terms of the procedures, I will explain that at a later stage as well. The reason we have Section 76.1 and Section 76.2, it comes to the fact when, because the two houses have equal powers on Section 76 bills, it affects provinces. If the bill is introduced at the National Assembly and the two houses, they discuss the bills from one house to another house, they have powers, both houses, to amend that particular bill. If there's a dispute, they don't agree on some amendment, that bill will be referred to the mediation committee. The mediation committee will have members of the National Assembly and members of the NCOP. The mediation committee is given time frame to look at the issues, for instance, issues where the two houses don't reach consensus. And then, if that committee fails, cannot reach any consensus, the National Assembly will have powers to adopt that bill and pass it with two-thirds majority. Only if that bill from the beginning was introduced at the National Assembly. But if the bill was introduced as Section 76.2, that means it was introduced at the National Council of Provinces, and they cannot reach consensus through the mediation committee, it means that that bill will lapse. It's not going to go anywhere because they cannot reach agreement. The tricky part here is that the executive, that is the ministers that introduced the legislation, they are fully aware of this. And they rather introduce a Section 76 bill to the National Assembly with a view that if there's a mediation committee and you can't reach consensus, the National Assembly will have the power to pass that bill two-thirds majority. This is the mediation committee that I explained, because only bills of the Section 76 and Section 74 that are referred to mediation committee if the two houses cannot reach consensus. And mediation committee, it becomes a joint committee, it has members of both houses. The mediation committee, its role is to try and mediate, like the name is saying, for the two houses to reach consensus. And by reaching consensus, it can agree to the amendments of the NA or to the amendments of the NCOP, or it can come totally with a new version of a bill to try and accommodate both houses. And then there's the legislation on Section 76. That is legislation that dealing with money issues in terms of the appropriation bill, the taxation laws. And what is happening currently, I will say Parliament, in terms of the new act, it can amend money bills. But that process has not been implemented yet. The presentation is referring to the time when Parliament didn't have powers to amend money bills. So those bills will come to both houses and the two houses will consider them and pass them. But it's only the Minister for Finance that can introduce this bill. No other person can introduce a money bill. That is in terms of our constitution. This is the tricky part when it comes to the legislative process, especially for the NOP, the fast-tracking of bills. I'm sure from provinces we have a huge outcry when Parliament decides that the bill should be fast-tracked. The provinces usually are up in arms because by fast-tracking a bill, in reality it means that some of the processes should be shortened and some of the processes, for instance, the public hearings, to what extent? You don't have much time to sit down and look at the bill. Why is the bill fast-tracked? Most of the time, the minister will give reasons to say that the bill should be fast-tracked and give good reasons. Usually one of the reasons is the fact that it's going to affect the state negatively if this bill is not passed at a particular time, therefore we need to fast-track the bill. But the leader of government submitted that request on behalf of that particular minister for fast-tracking of the bill. And once that request has been approved, it means that Parliament, or even this committee, whatever it was doing, should be set aside so that the committee can fast-track that process. Then there is a process of saying prioritized bills. When a bill is prioritized, it doesn't mean that it's going to be fast-tracked. But what the program of Parliament says is that the committee should give priority to this bill. This bill should be prioritized than any other business of committee. It must get first preference. Even there are usually reasons given, and the leader of government submits the same request, and it goes through the processes. And then if it is approved by the programming committee, the bill will be prioritized. This is the shortened part of the legislative process. When we talk about legislative process, we are saying in terms of our constitution, the committee may adopt a bill as it is when it was introduced without amending the bill. The committee may also amend a bill. The committee also has power to reject a bill. The committee, in some instances, for whatever reason, the committee can decide to let the bill lapse. Usually that happens towards the end of a term, the five-year term of Parliament, towards the end. If there are bills before committees, the committee, for reasons that they are convinced, they will allow that bill to lapse. By lapsing, it means that it will just stay before the program of Parliament until Parliament ends. And when the Parliament ends, it means that for that bill to come back to the committee, it should be reintroduced. So that's what lapsing means. The executive have a right as well, in terms of our rules, to withdraw a bill that is before a committee. But if the minister wants to withdraw a bill, it should be withdrawn when it's with the first house. For instance, if the bill was introduced in the NOP, while the committee is still considering the bill, that bill can be withdrawn. But if the NOP has done that bill and adopted that bill, it's passed by the House and referred to National Assembly, the minister can no longer withdraw that particular bill. This is the committee stage when we are dealing with a bill. Usually the bill is referred to a committee through the ATC, the Document of Parliament called Announcements, Tablings and Documents. And then from there, the committee will get a briefing from the department on the policy, directive, what the bill is all about, what is the department trying to achieve. And then usually the committee will decide that it must have a workshop before it engages on that particular bill. Usually this happens depending on the nature of the bill and how much interest will that bill attract. For instance, let's take the bill deals with termination of pregnancy. The committee will say, before we embark on public hearings and everything, let's sit down as a committee and engage on this bill to check what the implications, financials, and the benefits and whatever to the public. Then after that, they will start outrolling the process. They will have public participation. Public participation for NOP. usually for Section 76 bills, it's done at the provincial level. But there is nothing stopping, as I said before, for public hearings to be done at national when the need is there. Then the committee will deliberate the input they receive from the public, submissions, and sometimes they will come and ask for oral presentation. Once they are doing that, in some instances, the committee will say to the department, here is the information we received from the public. We want the department, give the department an opportunity to look at this information and see what can they take into account and accommodate in terms of the bills that they introduce. And the department will come back to report back to the committee in terms of what they have done with the input. From that stage, the committee will go clause by clause for each section, proposing amendments or amendments.